Has the midweek church prayer meeting gone the way of the dodo? We'll talk about that today on Abide Radio.
Do you read your Bible every day without fail?
If you want to truly be used of God, if you could be an instrument that God could use to bring revival, you must be a man, a woman, convinced that every day you must be nourished in the Word of God.
Jesus Christ is the matchless one. Jesus Christ is the priceless one. Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price.
Gabriel can get some of us out of bed at midnight to pray to his children.
Ooh.
They're so fat and satisfied, got big cars and lovely homes.
We could think for a long time about this. You pin your ears back pretty good once you start down this road.
Why am I not producing fruit in the way that I would expect? Because I'm forgetting the gospel!
I will fight sin with everything I am because I have been forgiven.
Because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report to us supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim to be divine rather than human in origin.
But the way to access that life is to make your life vulnerable for the sake of Jesus Christ for His glory.
Hello.
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 Abide Radio, thank you so much for joining us here today. My name is Paul Yench. I'm your host. You can find out more about us on our website at abideradio.com, where our goal with that site is to provide for you encouragement and resources and tools for your daily walk with Christ. And abideradio.com has really kind of become a portal to my blog site, to some of the other things that we have going on. One thing on there you'll find, I want to encourage you in two things in particular very quickly. First of all, a reminder about our upcoming Ignite Conference, our 11th annual Ignite Conference, and looking forward to that. And that's going to be held on Friday, March the 9th through Saturday, March the 10th at Lighthouse Alliance Church in Rocky River. Just basically a 24-hour period of intentionally pursuing the Lord. And again, with the principle of boot camp is pushing you further than you've gone before. And that's what we want to do. Go deeper in prayer. Go deeper in the Word of God. Go deeper in our worship of Him. And so pray that you can join us. There's no cost. If you're coming from out of town, I got a contact from somebody in Detroit who's considering coming. There's no lodging or meals provided. That is all on your own, but there's no cost for the conference itself. And really looking forward to that. And that's coming fast. We are already midway through February here, and spring is coming. The Ignite Conference is coming, and lots to be excited about. The other thing I want to encourage you about, and again, you can find out more information about this on abideradio.com, and that is our new Abide Challenge. Now, you know that in the past, we've had the standing Abide Challenge of spending at least 1 hour a day with the Lord and dividing that hour up between worship, prayer, time in the Word of God. The newly modified Abide Challenge, which is going to kick off on Monday, this coming Monday, February the 20th, and running for 7 days, so next Monday through next Sunday. The challenge now is to spend at least 1 hour every day with the Lord in prayer. Not just an hour of everything totaled, 1 hour in prayer. Now, I know that can sound a bit challenging and daunting, but as talking with somebody yesterday, that they're a little bit afraid that they won't be able to meet that goal. And I understand that. That could be a bit of a challenge. If you're not used to spending an hour in prayer a day, that can seem a bit intimidating. But again, when you take a challenge, the aspect of the challenge is to push yourself further than you've gone before, to try something you've never maybe tried before. And maybe you won't hit it. Okay, maybe you'll only pray for an hour a day two of the days, and maybe 45 minutes three of the days, and a half hour two of the days. Okay, it's not the end of the world. I believe that if you take the Abide Challenge and you come up short almost every day, you'll still be better off for having tried than not. So there's no sign up for the challenge. We do have a Facebook page created where you can share prayer requests, as some people have already spontaneously begun doing that. There's no rules for your time of prayer, just as God leads you. Some have begun to share prayer requests, and that's great. Go ahead and do that. The link on abideradio.com will take you right to the Facebook page. And even if you're not on Facebook, you can still view the page and all the details and see what people are sharing. Now, the one thing I encourage you with the challenge is, at the very least, at the end of the 7 days, just post a comment there about your testimony of what God did in those 7 days of prayer with Him. Or if you want to stop in daily and check in daily, you're welcome to do that as well. So hopefully this will be a help to you, a challenge to you, an encouragement to you. But I want to encourage you and invite you to be a part of the Abide Challenge starting on Monday, February the 20th, for 7 days of spending 1 hour a day with the Lord in prayer. Now, if you have been listening, last week obviously we didn't have a show. I apologize for that. Things just didn't quite work out. We've been going through a series on Lord, Teach Me to Pray, and we've been looking at the blueprint of prayer that Jesus gave. And I actually want to divert from that, if you would allow me that, for this week, and just share with you a bit of a testimony and a bit of a story. Now, if you follow my blog, the Intentional Spiritual Life blog, I've begun a series of little clips just telling my story. And I'm not doing that because I think I've got this amazing story to tell or that people are dying to read my autobiography, if you will. It's not meant to be that. It's just kind of a look back at the road that God has brought me down. Soon I'll be celebrating 24 years as a Christian and just looking back at the work that God has done and where He's brought me and what He's done in that time. And again, it's partly, let me backtrack. Something that was on my heart a while ago, in that I want to make sure that one day, my children, I want to share these stories with them, but I also want to make sure that they can know of what God has done in my life. I want to make sure they know that. And so this will be one way that I can put it out there, that one day they can go back and read everything. But also for myself, because I've really been going through a time of reflection over the road that God has brought me down. And a lot of that came from earlier in the week. Spent some time in prayer and going over Philippians 1:6. And He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it at the day of Christ Jesus. And looking back at the work that He has begun in me, the work that He is doing, and you know, looking forward to the work that He's going to do. I think I've been one of those people who get so caught up in how far I still have to go. I heard Kirk Hammer talk about one of the dangers we can fall into in sanctification of we can fall into one of two extremes. Either one, we're so focused on how far we've come that we think we've got the thing mastered, you know, that we start feeling pretty good about ourselves, which is going to keep us from really striving to move forward. But the other extreme is that we're so focused on how far we still have to go in our journey that we don't realize how far we have come. And he said that the secret's really a balance between the two, of thanking God for how far He's brought you, but still being challenged by how far you still have to go. And I haven't done enough of looking back and just thinking about all that God has done and thanking Him for that. And so part of that's gone into writing this too, and hopefully it could be a help and encouragement to you. But as you read through that, hopefully one thing that is communicated, and especially as I talk about my time at Valley View and the prayer meetings that I was a part of, both at Valley View, but also some of the things that were happening just in relationship with my youth pastor, things that we did separate from the church activities. And for a while now, I've been burdened about the state of the church prayer meeting. You hear enough resources, enough people talking about how the midweek church prayer meeting is a thing of the past. People that just don't do that anymore. People aren't drawn to that anymore. It's just not a relevant tool for our day. And it's really grieved me because I know the place that the church prayer meeting has had on my spiritual growth to this point. And I'm going to be careful with this because I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but I've really had on my heart to encourage our church to put our focus back on that church prayer meeting as a defining activity of our ministry. And it's been hard. People's schedules are busy, and honestly, I think we have a Christian culture that hasn't been, for lack of a better term, trained to appreciate the church prayer meeting. It can be a rough go. And there can be discouragement. And I almost started to give in to that mentality that maybe there's some precious believers who are still committed to the work of prayer, and they'll come out to the prayer meeting. But in terms of being a defining ministry in the church, I guess I almost started to believe that lie that, you know, the church prayer meeting as a vibrant ministry has gone the way of the dodo bird. It's gone into extinction. It's not going to happen anymore. And for as big of a fan as I am of Leonard Ravenhill, you know, it's hard to listen to a Ravenhill sermon without him referencing some prayer meeting that happened that week that was just, you know, the Spirit of God was moving and it was incredible, and him just raving about the prayer meeting. And, well, long story short, maybe it's too late for that, I've been hearing stories for a while now about another church in our denomination, and the pastor there is, I've known him for years. He mentored me as I went through my ordination process, and he started a church about a half hour south of where I am, and it's been a church that has exploded. And it's every time you ask anybody, from the pastors to the people, what's going on there, they all immediately say the same thing. It's because of prayer. God is moving in response to the prayer meeting. And the church has been built on the prayer meeting from day one. And it's been the heartbeat of the church. And you hear all these stories about things that God is doing. Like recently there was a psychic who just walked into the church office and just wanted to talk. You don't typically see stuff like that. I mean, almost on a weekly basis, they're seeing people come to faith in Christ. And I keep hearing the stories about we're praying and we're seeing prayers answered. And my heart just had this longing to go be a part of one of their prayer meetings. And, you know, we have our own stuff on Wednesday nights, and so that just hasn't worked out. But I just kind of ran by a couple people and said, you know, would you be offended if we just ceased what we're going to do on a Wednesday, and you're welcome to come with me. I'd love for you to come with me. But I just feel I need to go down to one of these prayer meetings. Partly for our church to, you know, kind of see it modeled so that we can learn something as a church, but also for me, I've longed for a vibrant church prayer meeting. You know, not a pastor's prayer meeting. Those are kind of a different breed. Not always in a good way either, by the way, but I just wanted to see the people of God. You know, no credentials, no, not pastors, not position, not trying to impress, just the people of God in prayer together. And so went down to the Hope Church prayer meeting last night. And I was excited all week long. I couldn't wait for Wednesday to come. So I wanted to go to this prayer meeting, you know, to see if this is real, if this is true, that a prayer meeting can be this vital. And in all honesty, for most of the day yesterday, really nervous about going down there. I was kind of, my heart started racing. I was driving down there partly just in excitement and anticipation of what God was going to do, but also maybe a little fearful of, you know, is it really everything I'm hearing it's being? What if it's not? You know, what if it's not really prayer? I've been to those where they call it a prayer meeting, but it's really not. You have these two-hour prayer meetings, and you probably spend 10 minutes in prayer. It's not really a prayer meeting. So, nerves all over the place as I was heading down there to see what was going to happen and what was going to take place. And in short, talk more about it after our break, but in short, I know this isn't going to sound like an exaggeration or kind of overesteeming it, but easily the best church prayer meeting I've been to probably since about 1991 or 1992. I'm not overstating that or exaggerating. It was just incredible. It wasn't, you know, the building didn't shake as we prayed. People weren't swinging from the chandeliers, or they don't have any chandeliers, I don't think. I didn't look at the ceiling, but it wasn't this huge emotional experience. It was just simple, beautiful, and powerful. And God was there. And I hope everybody who was there was aware of that fact, but God was there just in a beautiful way. And I want to talk about what they did, I think, that made the prayer meeting so special. But just want to kind of affirm the fact that the church prayer meeting has not gone the way of the dodo. And it was really challenging in terms of our church, putting the prayer meeting back at the forefront. But also, I think, what they're doing, what God is doing there, I think is a model for what any church who feels a call to make prayer the heartbeat of their church, I think they provide a wonderful model of what the church prayer meeting can be. So we're going to talk about why that is and what I learned at my time there last night after our break. But first I want to hear a few words from, first of all, a promo for Kirk Cameron's upcoming film Monumental, followed by some words from one of the pastors there at Hope Church in Brunswick about the role of prayer in the life of believers. So his name is Tom O'Connell, a great friend, and hopefully appreciate the words he has to share. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Those who would have us believe that the United States has reached the zenith of its power, that we're weak and fearful, reduced to bickering with each other. I don't agree that our nation must resign itself to inevitable decline.
America is the richest, freest nation the world has ever seen. But as a father of six, I look around and all signs tell me something is sick in the soul of our country. And history tells me that we're headed for disaster if we don't change our course now.
The set of ideas that is being implemented and advanced in this capital at this time is terribly frightening to people who are students of history.
If you look at the 70 superpowers in history, every single one of them has called themselves exceptional.
When you look at the Roman Empire, the parallels to what is going on in America are absolutely frightening.
And the question is, are we going to go the right path ourselves, or are we going to continue down the wrong path that so many nations have fallen into?
I went on a journey to retrace the footsteps of our forefathers to see if they left us some kind of a map that would guide us back to the foundation of America's success.
When I think of pilgrims, I think of what I was taught in history class. Think of pilgrims coming over in these funny black and white suits with big hats and belt buckles on their shoes.
These are the people out of the box. These are the radicals of their day.
Can you imagine? Chained here, and you're open to the elements.
You can read about places like this. You can smell the history.
You can't fake this.
Welcome to Mayflower 2.
So we have 102 people in this area.
Look at that. I mean, can you imagine? You're going to be sharing that.
It's actually quite comfortable.
What I discovered is that our history has not just been forgotten, it's been rewritten.
I'm stunned just what's on this table. I mean, this alone would change everyone's perspective about what made America such a great nation.
Time is flying by too quickly, and our children's futures won't wait. We've got to do something now.
Why is this monument not being showcased more? It is illustrating the principles of what this country is all about, and it's falling apart.
There is nothing in today's America that cannot be solved by a genuine going back to the American first principles.
That's good news.
Very good news. I'm looking for good news.
This is the most important journey of my life. My family is worth fighting for, and so is yours.
Let's continue on in verse 14. It says, they all joined together, unified spirit, constantly in prayer. Constantly. It wasn't just a one-time thing. The language behind this word is being persistent at something. Almost to the degree of being stubborn. You're not going to give up. You're going to keep going. It's not going to be a one-time thing. It's the idea of prevailing in prayer. And day after day after day, they keep calling out to God. Prayer is going to be their default setting throughout Acts. It's what they do. Over and over and over again. 31 times in the book of Acts, prayer is mentioned. 20 of the 28 chapters in Acts has prayer in it. It's what they do. It wasn't just a one-time thing. They were persistent. They constantly went to prayer.
Welcome back. Once again, that was Tom O'Connell, one of the pastors at Hope Church in Brunswick, where I was blessed to attend their church prayer meeting last night, and want to talk about that and say, you know, why devote a show to reviewing a prayer meeting? Well, not trying to review the prayer meeting like it was up for review, I just want to share what went on. And hopefully as an encouragement to anybody who's listening, that if you want to see God work, it's in response to prayer. Leonard Ravenhill said, "There has never been a revival without prayer, nor will there ever be." And as I've been looking back at the journey God has brought me on, and looking at, seeing what some of the different churches I've been blessed to attend, started a non-denominational church, then went to an evangelical free church, then I went to a Baptist church, then a non-denominational church, then a Church of the Brethren church, now a Christian Missionary Alliance church. So there's been a scattering of denominations in there. But in the midst of all of those different churches, the ones where I saw the Spirit of God work. Now, say that the churches were the Church of the Brethren church. I was the pastor, so it was kind of the theology rose and fell on my shoulders, kind of. But the churches were strong in theology. But that's not what defined them. It was the prayer meeting. If you talk to people, the thing that they were most excited about was the prayer meeting. That was sure at Valley View and to another degree at Cornerstone Church in Lyndhurst, where I'd gone for a while. It was about the prayer meeting. And everything about the church permeated out of the prayer meeting. There were people coming to Christ, not because the churches had elaborate outreach programs, but because the Spirit of God was working in the hearts of people who were out sharing the gospel. There were marriages being restored, lives being changed, permeating out of the prayer meeting. And last night, the prayer meeting at Hope Church began with a time of sharing testimonies of how God has been answering prayer. And sometimes you put that question out there and it's, you're a bit intimidated, because a lot of times you say, "So what has God been doing?" And there's silence. Nobody wants that. But there was just person after person after person talking about a wayward child who was now, their heart was turning to God. A couple of stories of that. Stories of marriages where a couple had separated, but now it looks as though God is bringing them back together. There were tears shed. There was just sharing, just honest sharing of how God has been working. And it was a wonderful encouragement just to see response to answered prayer. And then it's just this beautiful time of worship. It wasn't this, this up-tempo. It was just worshiping God, just to bring out this beautiful old hymn, "How Great Thou Art." It was amazing. And then we just went into a time of just praising God in prayer. And just person after person, just lifting up their heart, praising God for what He's done or who He is. And one of the beautiful things about this was, as I got there, and immediately the pastor there, who was my mentor, greeted me right away, and we shared together, and he just began talking about what God had been doing. And as people were walking into the sanctuary for prayer, he'd say, "No, that person there, they just came to Christ 3 weeks ago. That person came to Christ a month ago." And it was so exciting. You've got all, there's probably about 50 people there, which some people said it was a little bit low, but they averaged about 50 to 80 people, and just seeing so many baby Christians in there, and just praying. And one of the things that I saw years ago with church prayer meetings is, it kind of becomes this spiritual competition of who can sound more profound, who can pray the most profound prayers, and it becomes very superficial. You've got all these baby Christians, and it wasn't just, you've got former pastors, you've got the church elders, you've got the members of the church, you've got baby Christians, all of them just lifting up honest, sincere, heartfelt prayers to God. Sometimes in tears, sometimes just, you can just hear the tears in their heart as they're lifting up to God these words of praise and prayer. And there were some other songs and scriptures and reflections thrown in there, but just every time we came to prayer, it was just people honestly lifting up their hearts to God. That was great. Just sincere. And I think one thing that challenging for me is kind of taking prayer down from, sometimes we can make it into this, you know, that's for the big boys. You know, the big boys go to prayer meetings. Everybody should be at a prayer meeting. And sometimes it can be intimidating because you get the person who can pray for every need in the world for 10 minutes. And, you know, the younger believer's like, I can't pray like that. But it was just, nobody was trying to overpray. Just, I think partly how the prayer was organized, it helped with that a little bit, but just honest lifting up their hearts to God in prayer and sharing prayer needs. And one of the beautiful times is when they actually came to a time of lifting up personal needs before the Lord. And it wasn't, not that there's anything wrong with this, but it wasn't, you know, my coworker needs this or my neighbor needs this. It was, I need this. My kids need this. And it was just honest personal sharing. And nobody was afraid of being looked at funny or deemed unspiritual as they were lifting up their needs. It was just honestly, God, this is what I need. And with that came this beautiful environment of grace where somebody can just honestly say, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I need your help. Nobody gasped. Nobody thought anything of it other than just here we were together. I need his help in one area. You need your help in that area. We both need him. There wasn't a judging. There wasn't a spiritual comparisons. It was beautiful. I wish everybody could just go and experience that. And maybe if you're listening to this and you go to Hope Church and you're at the prayer meetings week after week after week, you know, sometimes you can take things for granted. When you've got something good, sometimes you don't always appreciate it. Maybe you do. But maybe you go to Hope Church and you're at the prayer meetings Wednesday after Wednesday and you're so used to it that you just think this is just how it is. And let me just say, it's not. What you have going there, if you're at Hope Church, what you have going there Wednesdays is something special and something rare. And I would just encourage you and love to just cherish what you have because it's precious. And enjoy it. And pray that God continue. And don't, make sure you protect that church. Don't let anything stop what's happening. Because if you're reading my story, you know that my time at Valley View, I don't remember, I kind of wrote several in a row and just kind of scheduled them for different days. What I saw happening at Valley View Church was amazing. And I got a glimpse of that last night. But it came to a stop very fast. Because people started getting in the way of what God was doing. And if you're a Hope Church, please don't let that happen. God is doing something beautiful there. Let that continue. But another neat part of the prayer meeting was everything was corporate until towards the end. They had people just kind of groups of ladies get together, groups of guys get together and just share how we can pray for each other and to lift up those needs. A wonderful time. I was really overwhelmed and blessed by Pastor Gordon, who had known that I was going to come and had me come and sit in front of everybody. And I had some of the elders and leaders lay hands and pray for me and pray for our church. And it was just amazing. It was one of those times where I know that sometimes we can get freaked out by emotions, but my emotions were really getting the best of me last night. And it wasn't, I want to clarify that. It wasn't, you know, let me work up, get myself emotionally worked up so that I can say God was there. It was, God was moving, and in response, my emotions responded to it. So please don't think that this was some just emotional thing, but it was just an amazing prayer meeting, a beautiful prayer meeting. I just want to thank the folks at Hope Church for welcoming me and just allowing me to sit in on their time with God. And it was incredible, and I want to get back there again someday and bring some friends because it was just truly a very special time. So if your church doesn't have a prayer meeting, maybe it can't be every week, and you know logistically that's not going to work right now, but begin moving in that direction. You know, just start gathering some friends. It doesn't have to be the official thing. Just start gathering some friends together and say, hey, how about we just start praying? You know, once a month, every other week, every week, whatever it is. Just grab a couple friends and start praying. start inviting somebody else and see what God might do. I'm excited. After being there last night, I'm more excited about what God would do in response to prayer than I've been in a while. And just looking forward to what God has in store. So, in the middle of our talking about Lord, teach me to pray, just wanted to share a bit of this testimony of just seeing it modeled, seeing a church built on prayer. As I believe that a church doesn't have to be about programs and this, that, and the other, that the book of Acts was simple. And the church of the book of Acts was built on prayer. There's a lot of other stuff, but prayer was at the core. And I believe that still today, about 2,000 years later, a church can still be built on prayer. And I saw it modeled. I know it exists. I know it's out there. I know it can be done. God will do it. So anyway, thank you for taking the time to listen. I pray that this was helpful and encouraging to you. And Lord willing, we'll catch you back here next week as we continue our series on Lord, Teach Me to Pray. And until then, abide in Christ. Never let